This Civic Media podcast is sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. Organ donations are desperately needed, and now is the right time to become an organ donor. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Go to heroicdeed.com.
From the rolling bluffs of the Driftless region to the pristine shorelines of Superior in Michigan, from the Northwoods to the Kettle Moraine, Civic Media broadcasts across all of Wisconsin. For all of Wisconsin. Take a trip with us across the radio network to hear from communities throughout the state. This is the Civic Media Spotlight.
Welcome in to Hour 2 of the Civic Media Spotlight. First up is Matt Nair on Air. And this week, Jane and Greg remembered the four-year anniversary of January 6th, and, more importantly, attempts to rewrite the history of that day.
Good morning. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, and Calvin Butenoff coming to you live from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. You can call. You can text. The number is the same. It's 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. We have a very, very busy show coming up for you. Governor Evers would like to see Wisconsin residents have a say in referenda. There are other states that do that, Greg Bach.
I think like half of them already do that.
Yes, many, many states do that. And Governor Evers would like to see Wisconsin residents have a little say about what gets on the ballot. Of course, Popcorn King Robin Voss has some thoughts about that.
Yeah.
Shouldn't surprise anyone. We'll be talking about that after the 10:30 news, the citizen referendums. Of course, the flags are flying at half staff today and will be throughout the month. Not everyone is happy about that. I'll let you guess who. We'll talk about that a little bit later on. Next hour, this is something that I think Greg has kind of flown under the radar a little bit.
Yes.
If you're going to be traveling and you're going to be traveling overseas. It was not intentional, actually. If you're going to be traveling, and especially overseas, and not just overseas, but within the country, there have been some changes, and you're going to need the correct documentation. So we will be kicking that around after 11 o'clock. We have an update on the boat stuck at Bradford Beach. We finally know who that boat belongs to.
Would you say we put a face to a McBoaty face?
Oh. Look at you. They're looking for a little help, apparently, the owners of that boat that's been stuck there for well over a month. After the 11:30 news, the Golden Globes were last night. We will take our look at the rundown of the winners and highlight some of the speeches, and then we will wrap it up as we always do with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today it's the High and Dry edition. If you ever have a thing that you think should not be, send it in to Greg and me at Jane Says, J-A-N-E-S-A-Y-S, Jane Says at civicmedia.us. Going to start off the show today, though. It is January 6th. It is the four-year anniversary of the attack at the U.S. Capitol. According to some, it was a day of love, Greg Bach. A day of love, not necessarily from some of the officers who were defending our lawmakers and our Capitol. Aquilino Gunnell, who was one of the officers, one of the Capitol Police officers protecting us that day, he has an article in the Bulwark today called, and the headline reads, "I was nearly killed on January 6th. 4 years later, I feel betrayed all over again. The people whose lives I protected sided with my attackers, but they weren't the only ones who let me down." I don't know about you, but I watched all of it unfold live on television.
I did as well. I was working at the barber shop, and it was a quiet day, and I was watching it happen. And all of a sudden, I'm seeing people rushing the stairs, and fires being lit, and guns going off. I remember standing up and saying to my coworkers, "Something really wrong is happening right now," and it was absolutely tragic to watch, and it's one of those moments. It's a JFK September 11th. Where were you on January 6th? Where were, like, did you watch it happen? Did you hear? Well, how did you hear about it?
I will never forget those images.
Yeah,
and if you have someone in your family circle who still maintains that it was nothing, it was a blip. I highly encourage you to pull up some of the video from that day and look at what was happening with our Capitol Police officers and the other officers who were called in to help. It was horrific. We had rioters attacking police officers with flagpoles.
Yeah.
If you saw any of the attack on, they pulled them out into the crowd, beating them on the ground. The officer that Pat Kreitlow had on his show, who's unfortunately named escaped me right now.
I know who you're talking about too. He's written a book and he did a tour about it. And I think about the officer who was being crushed by
the door
and them saying push and push and take his helmet. And it was, and the bravery of the other officer who led the traitors. They're traitors. They're insurrectionists. They're not citizens to me. They're traitors away from Republicans and Democrats who we don't know what would have happened had they been discovered.
They had a noose on the front lawn.
Yeah. They were demanding to execute the sitting vice president at the time. I mean, we could go on and on and on. There is no version of the story that makes them look like fun-loving, patriotic tourists who are just taking in the sights that day. This was a mob of violent, armed traitors who walked into the building because they were upset that they didn't get their way.
Well, and it was encouraged by the former president.
Yes.
It was, we had 2 months leading up to this of, it was stolen, it was stolen. There was no evidence that it had been stolen. There were 60 court cases that they lost. Mm-hmm. And yet, and I will say this, Greg, I do think that there were some people who did not go into the Capitol, who did not attack our police officers. There were certainly some people there who were not violent, but the core of them, we're talking about 1,800 people.
That's where I'll disagree with you. I don't care what their intentions were. They attended, they were there, they walked in. When you are standing around people screaming and yelling, doing that, trying to cause violence, and you're a part, you were in it, you are as culpable as the rest of them. You can't, I do not believe you say, well, I didn't know. Well, if you didn't know, then you shouldn't have gone in. I mean, we have a sitting congressman from this state who was there. He didn't go to the Capitol. That is very proven. But
are you talking about Derek?
Derek Van Orden. Yeah, Derek DVO. Van Orden. He DVO was there, and I find him to be just as culpable and as much of a traitor as the rest of them. So I do not accept what their intentions were. They were there, and this really, really angers me because, and we talked about this today on Pat's show when you were on. By the way, Jane's always on Pat's show at the end on Mondays. Tune in. This is coming from these people who are revisioning the history here. These are coming from the people who support the blue, back the blue. They're all for the cops. Absolutely, without doubt. Yes. Pro-cop.
Yes.
But when it comes to these individuals who are nearly killed and to the officers who died as a result of this traitorous event, I don't know, man. I don't know. Oh, all of a sudden, the blue isn't worth your support? It's these people in camo who are playing Weekend Warrior with their guns and their flagpoles. They're the ones who are in worthy
of
your...
They're the Patriots.
They're the Patriots and not the ones who are laying down their lives and putting themselves in harm's way to save people. That's good. All right, cool. Just so we have that down as an argument. Great.
John Kay on the live stream says, I was watching from home while I worked, and I felt the same as I felt on 9/11. Yeah. I hear you, John. It was surreal. And I kept saying to myself, where is all the help? Where is the help?
Yeah.
And of course, the backers of Donald Trump will say, well, that was Nancy Pelosi's responsibility.
No,
it wasn't.
No.
No, it actually was not.
And that's been proven time and time again. There's one man who should have done something and he didn't. He sat in his office, watched it on television,
4 hours.
Was enjoying it because he felt like he was getting his way, and he felt like he didn't. And it was like 3 hours later, he goes to the Rose Garden and makes some cockamamie speech. We love you. Go home. We traitor. Just absolute. God, I want to swear so bad right now, Jane, but I'm not going to.
Don't do it.
I'm not going to, but it's just, it's infuriating. And it also, like, the world watched this. This, and it's different than 9/11, because when 9/11 happened, this was an attack. This was a terrorist attack from overseas.
From outside.
Nothing.
From outside.
The call came from inside the house, and the whole world got to watch this happen. In America, where we're supposed to be so strong and so powerful, it was just absolutely mind-blowing to witness. And for a moment, I thought, oh, of course we'll be united on this one. We know who the perpetrators are.
The bad guys are, yeah.
Not so much if you ask the elected officials who were there that day.
Well, it's interesting that you say that, Greg, because Tom Dreisbach on Twitter has a whole series of what our Republican lawmakers said in the immediate aftermath mm-hmm. of January 6th.
Yep.
This is within the first 2 days.
Yeah.
Because as you'll remember, Kevin McCarthy then, after what, 4 days, flew down to Mar-a-Lago
yep.
and completely rehabilitated Donald Trump.
Yep.
And brought him back to life.
Yes.
This is what John Thune said, who is now Senate Majority Leader, about January 6th. A shrine to democracy for our country and the world was overrun by violent extremists seeking to overturn an election. We must hold those responsible to account. Senator John Marasso, the violence and destruction have no place in our republic. It must end now. Mitch McConnell, January 6th was a disgrace. American citizens attacked their own government. They used terrorism to try to stop a specific piece of domestic business they did not like. Senator Marsha Blackburn, these actions at the U.S. Capitol by protesters are truly despicable and unacceptable. While I am safe and sheltering in place, these protests are prohibiting us from doing our constitutional duty. I condemn them in the strongest possible terms. We are a nation of laws. Yeah, maybe not so much, Marsha.
Yeah, I'm watching. Like, we have news running in the studio at all times at Radio Park, and I'm watching footage right now of people using nightsticks and shields from the cops to break the windows of the Capitol. Spell out for me where Love Fest begins. Spell to me this was a tour and not an attack.
Were you watching what happens on January 6th? What do you think about where we are now? 855-752-4842. Stay with us. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Matt Nair on Air is part of the Civic Media Radio Network and airs across the network weekday mornings from 10 till noon. To learn more about this show and all of the Civic Media programming, check out the website at civicmedia.us/shows.
You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
This week, Pete Schwabe of Nightlight with Pete Schwabe did his show down in Madison. And as a guest, he welcomed on Madison musician Katie Scullin. Next up on Spotlight, she talks about her process for writing songs and performs a song live on the air.
Hey, I'm Pete Schwabe. Welcome back. We are broadcasting statewide from Madison tonight. It's always fun to do the show from here. Chris Casper helping out. Thank you, buddy. Appreciate you, as always. Conrad holding the fort back down back in Green Bay. Telling everyone to keep it down so I don't know he's throwing a party. Right now, I'm very excited to welcome my next guest. She has been on the show before. She's a Madison-based singer-songwriter, and she's awesome in so many ways. And her name is Katie Scullin. Katie, welcome back.
Hey, thanks. How's it going?
It's going great. It's so good to have you back. I really enjoyed you being here last time you came down. Do you live far away, or is this an easy commute for you?
It is. Yeah, okay. I'm close by. I live in Oregon, just south.
So how have you been? How's the career going? Have you played any good gigs recently? Where are things at?
I've been good, yeah. I've been mostly focused on writing and recording.
Okay.
My goal is to release a full length in 2025. So I have some time, but yeah. I've got, you know, like 5 or 6 songs ready to go, 3-4 in the works. But yeah, I've been just really focused on that. Played a couple shows. Indie Tune Up is one that I really like here in Fitchburg.
How long does it take you to like when you have the concept of a song, to write it down, mess around with it, from that moment to playing it live? What's that process like? How long is that?
I think it depends. Sometimes it will take months, and sometimes I'll write it in like a weekend.
Wow, no kidding.
Yeah, like I wrote one this weekend, which is strange because sometimes I'll go through like seasons of writer's block and won't be able to write anything
at
all.
Yeah,
that's too bad. But it all depends.
Yeah.
And then sometimes it takes forever, and then sometimes I'll write a song and I'll go back to it and change it completely. And yeah.
Will you, I think I know the answer to this, but will you be willing to play us a song?
Absolutely.
You have a guitar. I figured you were prepared for that question.
As long as I don't get a Freebird request.
Casper. What are you going to play for us?
Well, I think I'll do the one that we talked about. How about
the new one?
Sweet Escape?
Oh, Sweet Escape.
Sweet Escape.
I love Sweet Escape. Okay. Yes, please. All right, here's Katie Scullin live in the studio playing Sweet Escape.
I was there on my own, not for rich, not for poor. It didn't mean a thing, just the chance to run, just the chance to be free. They came fire in your eyes, you cut me blind, you stole my guiding light. You're making promises, you take all my dreams, you coincide and make them reality.
Chris is clapping on the other side of it. Conrad, are you clapping your green bag? He's mysteriously dark. Okay. Yeah, there you go. You can hear him. That's a great song. I love it.
Thank you.
It's got such a bluesy. Let me ask you something. What is your favorite genre, would you say, that has influenced your songwriting or music writing styles?
Gosh, I don't know. I like all sorts of music. Sometimes people have referred to me as like a wet noodle because they can't quite put me in a genre. Growing up, I really loved Tori Amos. I think that this particular song was inspired by Amy Winehouse, which maybe is
interesting.
Why it has sort of that bluesy feel to it.
Yeah. It's kind of a haunting song,
yeah,
too. It has very
yeah, yeah,
a
yeah.
lot of undertones,
yeah,
you know, going on there. So
yeah.
That's cool. So how do you know when you have a great song?
You
have to play it in front of an audience first, or do you go, this is it. This is, I love this.
I think sometimes I just like, I feel good about it, or like it hits me in a way where I'm like, I have to share it. I don't always know if it's good or not. But I think if I'm feeling something when I'm singing it, I guess I'm just hopeful that other people will resonate with that as well.
Do you need that connection with an audience to know? Do you like the song better when people respond to it, or is it a personal thing for you?
I think it's a little bit of both. I think for a while I did it because I just like needed to. And then I started to receive feedback from people like, oh my gosh, that song, you know, this happened in my life and this song meant so much to me. And I think about their story and then I look back at the lyrics that I wrote and I'm just kind of like awestruck how a completely different situation means the same thing to them. And it was a different scenario for me.
Like you connect with it totally different than what you were feeling maybe when you wrote it.
Right. That's or like the storyline. Like, yeah, it's a completely different like situation. But when you look at the lyrics, I'm like, oh, wait a second. That's so strange. Yeah.
Katie Scullin is here in studio with me for the second time. You were here probably in the summer, maybe?
Yes. Yeah. Yes, I was in pink pants. So
you adhere to those rules.
Right.
I'm more brassy than that. I'll wear pink pants after October 1st. I don't care.
Yeah,
that's just how I roll. She's going to hopefully play something else for us. I want to ask you about videos you've done too.
Okay.
Because I'm fascinated by that. Like you have great. And if you want to see more of Katie's stuff, go to katiescullin.com. There's a bio there. There's songs, some that have lyrics and videos. It's great stuff. Our question of the night, ladies and gentlemen, get in on the fun. What is your favorite video game? Kate from Stevens Point, she's in the 715, says The Sims.
Ooh.
I don't even know that. I've heard it, but I don't know anything about that.
I wonder if it's similar. I think SimCity, is that different? I used to love SimCity when I was a kid.
Was probably. It sounds really, like the kids would shorten it out of The Sims.
Yeah.
You know. All right. Thank you, Kate. And she says, oh, Wii Basketball. All right. We'll read more of your text. Let us know what your favorite video game is tonight. Matt Miller is here at 720 breaking down the Golden Globes. Right now, we still got time with Katie Scullin. And that's where we're going to be when we come back. This is Peach Wabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Nightlight with Peach Wabba is part of the Civic Media Radio Network and airs across the network weekdays from 6 until 8 p.m. To learn more about this show and all of the Civic Media programming, check out the website at civicmedia.us/shows.
You're an organ donor, right? Well, here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com.
We return you now to the Civic Media Spotlight, and on deck is a segment from The Earl Ingram Show. This week, Earl welcomed on attorney Roy Evans, and the pair discussed DEI and affirmative action programs, as well as their history in the lead-up to Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.'s birthday.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. You can text us at that same number. My guest is attorney Roy Evans. And, you know, the subject, you know, one of the things that I wanted to do is I've watched people celebrate the death of DEI and say, you know, especially many conservatives, that this has been discriminatory towards white men. And so in this nation, we can't have discrimination. And we just heard attorney Roy Evans say, you know, his father, who was a veteran, got discriminated against, you know, when he came back. And, you know, attorney Evans, my father, the exact same thing. It was not just, it was all black men and black people who came go ahead.
But that's the whole thought. I mean, we can isolate it to me and my family, not only my father, my grandfather, who I used to visit in Mississippi, had to work as a janitor at a white church, even though he had a mathematics degree. He was not allowed to teach and not allowed to vote, which set us back as a family in gaining wealth and status and the opportunities that we needed to find out what our potentials were. So it's not just me, it's my family, it's you, it's your family. And if we look at the history of this country, which was built on slavery, which was built on terrorism, because there were many black cities that were burnt out, there were many people. I mean, so we have to examine all of those types of things to really get just an inkling of an understanding of what we're dealing with today and the necessity of things like there shouldn't have to be affirmative action.
Right.
If we adhere to the preambles of our Constitution and the underpinnings of our existence, we shouldn't have to have, because things should be fair. But terms and words are interpreted by people. And when people are in power, just like the Supreme Court, interprets the Constitution. They can say what is and what is not. They are supposed to be above partisan politics, but they have been tainted and are now making decisions based on political desires. The two greatest, and everything I do as an attorney is influenced by the Constitution, but in the interpretations of the Constitution. And in my mind, the two greatest tragedies of our Constitution was the appointment of Clarence Thomas and Citizens United, which allowed decision-making to really placate those who were interested in not helping this country seek equality or seek equity or seek righteousness or seek fairness or seek those things that they claim are sacred to a democracy. So we are constantly fighting with ourselves over what we should do and how we should do it. I mean, one thing comes to mind this morning. Here we are laying to rest one of the greatest presidents ever, Jimmy Carter. And I was just reading an article about how the evangelicals set up a campaign of hate against him because he supported the civil rights movement and black people. And we have to really break this down as to what it really is. It's based on race. We want to say that it's not based on race and that it's all geared towards merit. And if you discriminate against one, you discriminate against other, but it's not. You are involved in sports and athletics, and I know I've done sports and athletics as a participant, and I've been a boxing official, and you know that in order to have a fair fight, you have to have a fair, you have to have rules, you have to have guidelines. And you have to have referees that are going to allow for any boxing match or any athletic contest to be free of bias, to be free of unwarranted actions that would make that contest unfair. And we are not at that point. And again, I know I'm rambling around a little bit because there's so many things that come to mind when we talk about this particular subject. We're in a position now in the history of this country that we are going to roll backwards before we're going to be able to move forward.
So let me, that point being made, Attorney Evans, let me say to you, you and I, again, you're an attorney. You certainly weren't given that. You earned it. But there were people before you who tried to become attorneys, black people, who, you know, for decades were denied that opportunities. The civil rights struggle, the fight for equal rights brought that about, gave you an opportunity to well earn, to be able to have these types of you know, to ply your trade. Let's put it that way. What I'm saying to you is, you're in my time because of what took place in the civil rights struggle. Dr. King and others who fought that battle, and even you and others, gave us an opportunity to live a middle-class lifestyle. Our grandchildren and great-grandchildren, at the rate things are going now, with them taking away affirmative action and DEI, are going back to a time that your grandfather and great-grandfather, and that's the issue, man. Well, you know, the history books, they don't want around anymore. So they're doing away with that.
Well, Earl, we never really left that time. The Civil War has never really been over. It was put on pause. There was compromise. And again, this is the importance of learning history. And again, you know, we're getting off on tangents, but this is part of the reason they don't want certain things to be taught nowadays in classes, which I think is really ridiculous as an educator myself. Learning is uncomfortable. And learning the truth is even more uncomfortable. But you don't get a sense of comfort unless you understand and can appreciate the truth and base your actions on what you know and understand. People would rather use emotion and opinion as their basis of understanding. An opinion is just how you feel or what you think. You wouldn't want me to go into the courtroom and your life is on the line, and I'm asking the judge, this is my opinion, Judge. I think Earl is a really nice guy. I don't know if he did it. He probably didn't do it, and so forth and so on. You want me to go in with the facts, the proof, the evidence, the understanding of the legal consequences, the law that supports my position, and those types of things. But we don't have the opportunity to have the dialogue like in the courtroom where you have sides, you have proof, you have evidence, you have your authorities where your positions can be supported.
So Attorney Evans, diversity, equity, and inclusion, affirmative action, those things came out of the judicial system that said they were going to work towards correcting injustice. So how can you now, and people say, well, it's been long enough.
No. I don't know where that comes from, it's been long enough. And in fact, as a first-year law student, I represented the America's Black Law Students on the international panel in D.C. on the post-Bakke strategies after the Bakke decision came out. I met in D.C.
Well, people don't know what the Bakke decision was.
Bakke was a lawsuit against the Berkeley Medical School by a white student who indicated that because there was a program to allow disadvantaged students into the medical school, he was not allowed. And even though he was more qualified, he was discriminated against. So he indicated that such programs were, and those programs, affirmative action, was set up to right wrongs, legal remedy for righting a wrong that existed because of the disparities that were created by history, the greed, the neglect, and the outright hostility towards people of color. It was to get some type of semblance of balance in giving opportunities that my grandfather didn't get. Okay, that's cool. My father didn't get, that affects me directly because now I have to, as an attorney, compete against those who did, whose fathers did get VA's loans, who passed that equity on to them so that they had an opportunity to experience life in a different way. I knew my experience on serving on that national panel right then. There were people saying, well, this is not going to work because we don't want it to work. We don't believe it's fair, and we're not going to allow it to work. And what happened is where we are at now, there were people who just took a side like they're doing now, saying these programs are no good. It's reverse discrimination. And I agree with reverse discrimination. If you've got discrimination, you should reverse it. I mean, but what has happened is, again, as an English major, a lot of the language like woke and false facts and that type of thing has been taken over and hijacked to demean the initial meaning of what those terms were set up to present. And then they have been promoted and put forward as something evil. And they were produced through the media as something that should be fought against. And people, without doing their research, have picked up on them and sided one way or the other, mainly because they're associated with race.
So, Attorney Evans, the reason I think that this is so important a discussion is we've seen them working to dismantle. They've taken away affirmative action. The Supreme Court decided against it, and it's not accidental now that they've come after diversity, equity, and inclusion. So, go ahead.
Well, you know, and I've written several articles. And one article I wrote the night that Barack Obama was elected, I was in South Carolina with my wife, and I was elated that we had our first African-American president. But let me tell you, being in South Carolina, there were a lot of people who were not happy. In fact, they were hostile. There was a run on the gun stores, and there was, he leads a madrasa and this, that, and so forth and so on. So I wrote a paper at that time based on the hostility that I saw called the Tsunami Warning. Because I knew that Barack Obama's election as an African-American in this country would set off what we are dealing with today. We're in the tsunami of the backlash of the earthquake that was Barack Obama, which was based on race.
Hold that thought, Attorney Evans. 855-752-4842. You're tuned in to the Earl Ingram Show. My guest is Attorney Roy Evans. You can join us.
The Earl Ingram Show is part of the Civic Media Radio Network and airs on select Civic Media stations weekday mornings from 8 till 10. To learn more about this show and all of the Civic Media programming, check out the website at civicmedia.us/shows.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Wrapping up the Civic Media Spotlight for this week, we'll hear from Mino and the Mayor out of Green Bay. They talk with Green Bay native Landon Jones, a content creator, about his Doritos commercial he made, a semi-finalist for being run in the Super Bowl.
Now, once again, Mino and the Mayor, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Hey, thank you very much. Welcome back, Mino and the Mayor. Special thanks, Don McColl, Bell and Sports Medicine, and the entire gang over there, and of course, Lisa Hale. Nuisco weekend preview, and I think I pronounced it wrong again.
Pretty close. Nuisco weekend.
Nuisco weekend, which is a phenomenal show. Right now, we've got a very interesting gentleman.
Oh, man.
Landon Jones, Adobe Bryant, Green Bay creator. His commercial is a semifinalist for Doritos and could possibly air during the Super Bowl, which is the second highest rated sporting event, I think, in the world. Mm-hmm. This is funny, though. I was just reading this the other day. It said highest rated or most viewership. The finals of the World Cup has half of the population of the world.
Wow. Maybe we'll go to every 4 years. Yeah, wow.
Landon Jones, welcome. Give us a little bit about yourself. This is exciting.
Thanks. I appreciate the introduction. So I'm a creative content creator from Green Bay, Wisconsin. I have an agency over on Walnut Street called Respect. We do a lot of creative work, web design, graphic design, videography, photography. We do some podcast stuff. And yeah, I graduated from Green Bay East 2004.
Played some ball?
Yeah. Yeah, we played some ball.
You schooled Harry Boyce, you told me.
Yes, I did.
You blocked his shots every practice to the point where he almost wept. Is that true?
This is very true. Nothing is truer. I'm just kidding, Harry.
But tell us more about how you went from Green Bay East to doing what you're doing and then what this next step could possibly be.
So after high school, I went to UW-Milwaukee for 2 years. I was going for healthcare administration. But on the side, when I'd be at my dorm, I'd just be working on Photoshop, different creative apps. And I started to meet people who needed creative services, mostly in the music industry. And I created stuff for them, and they started to offer to pay me. And it was just kind of like the light bulb went off. And, you know, I was going to my anatomy class. If you ever taken an anatomy class, anatomy's crazy.
Right.
You got to study, like, all the time. So I just found that my passion
was... You got to know where everything is.
Yeah, exactly. I found that my passion was more in the creative field. So just took the jump, dropped out, and just started pursuing that.
That's awesome.
Well, keeping you employed for 20 years.
Yeah.
So you must be really good at what you do. But I really got to know you just recently over this ad that you put together. And I'm telling you, I think you're going to win. I think you put together an ad for Doritos. They put together a contest and said, submit ads, right?
Yeah.
And I don't know, they must have got a million ads.
Thousands, yeah.
Thousands, yeah. I'm sure they got thousands of ads. They keep whittling it down. You are a semifinalist. They're down to 25 ads. Yours is one of them.
Yes.
Okay, I don't know if people have
seen it.
What do you call that ad?
It's like, if somebody really wants something.
It's on YouTube. But how do people, if they want to watch it, like right now?
It's called That's Bold.
That's Bold.
Yeah.
Okay, that's the name of the ad. So just Google That's Bold, and you will see the work of Landon. It's really funny. Where do you come up with these concepts? That is a good one.
I don't know. I feel like sometimes they just come out thin air. but yeah, I was sitting on the couch. I was eating some Doritos. I just had one in my hand. I was looking at it. And I just try and think of different scenarios playing out, like, obviously not all based in, like, reality, how things actually work, you know, just, like, what could be ridiculous.
Right.
Or, like, just interesting that makes somebody laugh. And I was like, well, what if my hand got bigger? And then I was like, okay, well, what would happen if I ate it, if that effect happened? Okay, the head would get bigger. And then, you know, I kind of went down the rabbit hole.
Man, that's funny.
That is a guy, the person you...
Absolutely. I wonder if it would work there.
And there was a low-budget commercial? Is that fair to say?
It doesn't look low-budget, though.
No, it doesn't.
The technical aspects are top-notch.
In the kitchen, but tell us about the production of it.
I mean, the production, like, on the budget side, it was pretty simple. You know, most of it, it's just over the years, just learning lighting. I don't want to say mastering because I believe in always being a student, but just having a firmer grasp on the fundamentals of lighting and composition and stuff like that. I think that's where it appears really professional.
How did you hear? So you submitted it. When did they take that first round?
It was November. I think it was November 21st that the initial submissions were due by.
And how did you hear that you made a cut?
They emailed me, actually. Okay. Yeah.
Those must be fun to open up.
It was crazy. Yeah, I was screaming. Yeah.
Yeah.
Got a text here. When will you know if you win?
So January 14th, they cut it down to 3 finalists.
And it's what, 25 right now?
Yeah, 25. Okay. And then it'll go to public voting.
Oh, really?
There, that's another plus in your
column. How can we tell people? Done, yeah, absolutely.
Well, we'll get you some votes here, I'll tell you. Yeah.
It'll be on DoritosCrash.com.
DoritosCrash.com.
Well, we'll wait till the 14th.
Yeah.
And then we'll wait till the 14th because that's when they take it down to 3. That's not a lot. I mean, and one of those is going to win $1 million. So
yeah.
Now, did you have to get the okay from Doritos or did they contact you? How did that part of it work?
With regard to
the entry of the first round.
You guys doing a commercial for Doritos?
Oh, okay. No, it was open to the public. Anybody could enter. Doritos Crash Super Bowl contest. It's been going on for years. It was gone for 8 years, but it came back.
Got it.
And so, yeah, anybody in the U.S. could enter.
He made this commercial 4 years ago.
And has been sitting
on it because, but the reason you sat on it was the contest wasn't available, right?
Yeah, it wasn't available. And then when the contest came around, there was some stuff in the rules that said it has to be like a new piece of work.
Original?
Yeah, so I just recreated it. I see. Used everything that I learned from lighting in that time and just
did you, the production value. You're a pro. You got an advertising agency. Did you run it by one of your old professors or somebody to say, what do you think? Or is this just you made all the decisions?
A focus group or whatever?
Kaveh, Tim, just internally. Harry saw it before it was submitted.
But like Johnson, you didn't do a focus group and change a word or change an action. And I think that's great. No, just I sometimes I think people... they don't do anything because it's, you know, analysis or paralysis through analysis, you know? And I think I just applaud you for taking the guts just to put your name in there too. And look how far you've got.
Yeah. Thank you. I appreciate it.
That's
it's
awesome.
It's gotta be fun though.
Oh, super fun. Okay, we're having a blast.
When are you going to hire me? Think about that.
Okay, Johnny,
I got some great ideas.
Johnny wants a job. I want 10% and Todd wants Doritos.
I told them when I was in college, I got an A plus in my commercial thing that I had to do.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Hey, come on down to Johnny's Auto Emporium. You can't believe what we got here. I'm telling you, I can beat your guy. We're going to set a quick break. Can you stick around?
Yeah.
And by the way, you said the streets are a little slippery out there, right?
Yeah.
Driving around?
Yeah, I'd be careful out there.
Okay.
All right.
Quick break. John Spagnuolo, former Green Bay Packer and Philadelphia Eagle, is coming up. The Labonte brothers. You do not want to miss them. Stay with us. He was no
more. Mino and the Mayor is part of the Civic Media Radio Network and airs on WISS and WGBW weekday mornings from 6 until 9. To learn more about this show and all of Civic Media's programming, check out the website at civicmedia.us/shows.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.